The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We are still in New York. We're in Manhattan. We're in Fitzpatrick's Hotel here in Manhattan, where we have been so well looked after over the last few days. And we are here because all eyes around the world, Ireland and beyond, on the US presidential election, on voting day, polling day yesterday, and on the results today. You don't need me to tell you what those results are. But with me here in Fitzpatrick to discuss, John McDonough is back, the radio host on WBAI New York Radio, taxi driver as well, veteran. Kirsty Fleming is with me. Kirsten was here a couple of days ago too. She's a features columnist with the New York Post. You're both very welcome, and it's good to see you again. John, you saw this coming.
Well, I told you a couple of days, this is bad news for Ireland.
I should have gone to the bookies,
but
John.
But I have a solution.
Okay.
Now, if the Taoiseach's listening, what he has to do is go to Ancestry.com Ireland, look up Trump's mother. She's Mary Ann McLeod from Scotland. Now, it has to be maybe in the 1600s, the McLeods were part of the plantation of Ulster. Send somebody up to Tyrone, set up a museum, a wall mural, have Christy Moore play a song, quote Seamus Heaney, and say, you're one of ours. And this way you won't get any tariffs put on, you know, Kerrygold butter or with Barry's tea. But just in case, I got the last box
of
Barry's tea that no tariff has been put on. So there you have it on your way back. That's tariff-free Barry's tea.
Tariff-free Barry's tea, yes. I like it. After today, it might suddenly get more expensive. But I mean, that's the reality, isn't it?
Yes.
That people are looking at. I mean, joking aside, there's going to be implications for Ireland.
I drink Barry's tea and I buy Kerrygold butter all the time. And if they're going to jack that up, I don't know what's going to happen. But that's part of it. I mean, that'll be a smaller issue compared to cars with China and all the other products that might get tariffs put on it. But,
Kirsten, looking at the kind of state-by-state results, looking at all the stuff that's come in on the demographics and what different groups voted and what way and for whom and why and the exit poll data, like everybody, you've been going through it all. What's your sense of what we learned about the country last night?
I mean, people are struggling, and they want real solutions. They wanted substantive solutions about the economy. They didn't want to be lectured to by celebrities who are sort of sitting in their cloistered mansions. And Harris built her campaign really on the celebrity endorsements. I mean, she never really went around, spoke to the people, and understood that. You know, I think they sort of took it for granted. It was a terrible campaign. And Trump, I have this great thing. When in 2016, I was watching the election, and this Australian girl sat next to me, and she was so upset that Hillary was losing, and she said, she was frantic. She said, don't you people read anything? Like, don't you? And I said to her, have you ever stepped foot off of this island? And she said no. And she's lived there for like 2 years. And I said, well, shut up. Because our demographics are so varied. People, there's a reason why we are the United States. We are not one people, and New York is a bubble. And so it's very easy for us to be sitting here and to say that, but talk to someone in different states. I mean, the economy is such a huge issue. Immigration is not just a border issue. So all of those things really, really mattered in the end.
Yeah, and you can see, immigration is not just a border issue, but the ads that have been running here in the days in the lead up to it. You know what I mean? They're all talking about this border that's a couple of thousand miles away, yet, all of the candidates are talking about it, certainly all of the Republican candidates. But, John, I mean, talk to me a little bit about what did somebody refer to them as earlier? The Reagan Democrats, the kind of the blue-collar kind of voters who went to Reagan before because they thought, this guy maybe speaks for me. And there's a sense we've seen that again, and they do that with Trump, that he might be a billionaire, but he kind of speaks for me more than this other
party. But I'll go back further. My parents are Irish immigrants, Donegal and Tyrone. As I said, we had JFK up on the wall with the Pope, and we were all union. But the Democratic Party has evolved to something that is as bizarre as it gets.
People ring you to tell you you're on the radio.
Yeah, shut up.
I can hear you on the radio.
So I'm watching now the analysis about what went wrong yesterday, right? MSNBC, all of them. It was white women's fault. It was black men's fault. It was the Muslims in Michigan's fault. It was the Jews in Pennsylvania. It's the Green Party's fault. It's union members' fault. Maureen Dowd, today's New York Times, it's Biden's fault. Not one of them walked back and said, you know what, maybe we're doing something wrong here.
They're not highlighting what
is wrong with the Democratic Party. And here's the other thing I hate about, as a registered Democrat, and this is in the Post today, Californians are looking to flee the country after the election. As a working class guy in Queens, I don't get up after an election and say, you know what? I don't like who won. I'm thinking about fleeing the country. So all the people that made the policies for the Democrats, well, I guess it didn't work out. See ya. I'm off to Spain. I'm off to Italy. I got dual passports. And this is the way that you never get that with Republicans. Yeah. The day after, if they're working class, we can't go anywhere. We're in this country paycheck to paycheck. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as getting up the next morning and saying, that's it, I'm leaving the country. You're the one that created this problem, and now you're going to leave the country.
Yeah,
Kirsten, Jeff Kooner up in Boston, who we spoke to just a few minutes ago, and Jeff is a regular on our show, he suggested actually this is kind of the start of a movement that's going to last kind of several election cycles, that he feels that the Republican Party under Trump have completely conquered that demographic, the kind of the blue collar working vote that is disenfranchised mm-hmm. with the kind of the Californian elite that John talks about, with the celebrities on the East Coast posting messages on Instagram telling them what way to vote.
Yeah. No, I think that he really tapped into something, and something, it was almost like people didn't realize the vein that he was hitting was so big. And it is a realignment, you know? I mean, I talked about this yesterday. The cards have really, the deck has really reshuffled. And he has a successor with J.D. Vance, who is very different from Trump, but shares his ideology, or maybe you want to say lack of ideology, but, you know, they're sort of kindred spirits in that sense. And you have people like DeSantis. You have a lot of people in that party on the backbench that do share the sort of Trumpian ways without a lot of the Trump vulgarian mannerisms and things like that, a lot of the without the crudeness. But, yeah, I think they're really – this is a major, major moment. Like, 2016 felt like a slap in the face to a lot of people, and they were shocked. I think now people are kind of recognizing, oh, maybe we made this mess. When I say people on the left, Democrats. I think they realize, ooh, but – To John's point, you know, not a lot of them are admitting it. I think quietly they're admitting it.
John, what do you expect the country to look like under four more years of President Trump?
Well, I hope the people that created the Democratic policy leave, and maybe leave it to the working class. I mean, we had a situation. Sean O'Brien from Boston, head of the Teamsters, spoke at the Republican convention. He gave a scathing speech against Republicans, against Amazon. Democratic Party wouldn't have him because he spoke at that Republican convention. So they go out, and who do they get? Oh, we're going to get Beyonce. Oh, we're going to get the boss in Jersey. They're going to speak. These multimillionaires. But here it is. You have a Teamster, and you won't have him speak? And here's the other thing, the Democrats. They're limiting who I can vote for. They fought in every state to keep Jill Stein off it, keep RFK Jr. off the ballot, and keep Cornel West. I would have voted for Cornel West. Being up at WBAI, I've met him a couple of times, and I would have voted for him. I couldn't vote for him. They give it. You know what they would say to me? I say, listen, what's your policy on the war? You're going to vote for Hitler? No, but what's your policy? Hitler's the other option. You have to go with me. I mean, stop with this Hitler stuff. They become the war party. And if you question their being the war party, oh, you're not patriotic. Yeah, patriotic. I want to end these bloody wars.
Kirsten, if some of the hyperbole pre-election were to be believed, what we've witnessed is the death of American democracy. Yeah. The Republic has withered and died overnight.
Yeah.
What do you suspect is going to happen on that front?
Yeah, the ascension of Orange Hitler. What happened when he was president the last 4 years? I mean, it's almost disgusting because, you know, people are sitting here saying, hey, I can't afford to feed my kids anymore, and I am really, really struggling. And what they were told was, no, you have to save democracy by voting for someone who was put on the ballot by subverting democracy. So it's ridiculous. But to your question, I think it's going to look optimistic, to be honest. I really, really do. I hope that, you know, he makes the economy strong. He was not the guy who used lawfare. I mean, lawfare was used against him. I just hope that it's a little bit more chill going forward. I don't know, because the media does have a sort of eruption anytime he opens his mouth. But I'll tell you, like, all the people that I know in suburban New Jersey, Georgia, Massachusetts, I mean, they are so excited right now. They're so excited. Because a lot of the culture stuff, too, but, you know, we sort of discount that. A lot of the trans in sports, like, those issues actually matter to people. Because even if it didn't matter to them, like, even if their daughter wasn't playing against a biological man, they saw that when people spoke up and said, hey, this isn't right, they were called transphobes, and they were told that that's not reality, and they were told that they were living, you know, in an alternate universe. It made you feel like you were taking crazy pills. So I think, you know, I think that hopefully we're in a truthful era.
If you were to look at it from a Republican point of view, the danger is he'd be his own worst enemy, though. Like, there was a degree of chaos when it came to kind of policy implementation, wasn't there, during the first term?
When he was elected the last time, he brought into the White House Amorosa. She is some wacky broad that was on a show called The Apprentice that nobody in New York or California watched, but everybody in the Midwest watched it. That's not going to happen this time. And the other thing is, he's a lame duck president. He's going to have maybe 2 years to enact whatever he wants to enact, and then J.D. Vance is going to take over he's running.
How is Donald Trump going to take it when he realizes that J.D. Vance is running around, actually?
He'll do his golfing tour around the country. That's it. And he's looking to build his library in Queens, hopefully, and then that's it.
He's not going to build his library in Queens, is he?
He's from Queens. That's
Florida.
Generally where you go. You go where you were born and reared.
He
could do it on Rikers Island.
Quickly.
They're closing it. That'll be a good place for him.
What do you think would be the greatest challenges he faces then, Kirsten? I mean, is it his kind of the chaos that he kind of tends to bring into the room sometimes?
Yeah. I mean, I think that is always something. You know, he's a flawed man. You're not going to sit here and say, oh my gosh, the perfect human being with the most perfect disposition has won. I mean, you can't argue that. I mean, he has his flaws, but that's part of the feature for a lot of people, is that he says it like he sees it. I do think that that'll be a challenge. I think that he'll be fought tooth and nail. But again, the Republicans, obviously, they picked up a lot of seats in the Senate. So they did, you know, again, you have that majority there. And he had a mandate. I mean, so I hope that, you know, he wants to bring in Elon to do more, to sort of like, you know, cut the fat out of the government. So I think there'll be revolts there. What he'll be able to accomplish, I'm not really quite sure. But I do think, you know, he has to go after the border, make sure that that's, you know, strong and good. And, you know, who knows with him? You know, you have to say, but at the same time, I think that people are relieved that somebody who is paying attention to their kitchen table issues is back in the White House.
John, then, before we wrap things up, what do the Democrats, and what does the Democratic Party need to do over the next 4 years we don't have automatically Trump for 4 years, J.D. Vance for 4 years, J.D. Vance for 4 years?
They have to get away from identity politics. Everybody has to be a debtor and get to working class politics. They say, I'm bringing in this policy because it's going to help the working class of all races and creeds. They have to start using that language. They cannot be using it. Oh, how do you identify? I identify as working class. How about we start there? And whatever else you want, that to me is irrelevant. But if you're going to help the working class, that's what they have to get back to, what they used to be. It's in my lifetime, I never would have thought that the Republican Party would be the working class party, which it is right now. It is. I don't know how it has evolved in that. And the Democratic Party is the party of Silicon Valley.
You remind me when you describe it, you know, there's that great line when John Hume is asked about his kind of function as a politician, and he describes it very simply. He says it's an easy job. You just have to try and raise the living standards of your constituents. And that's it. Sometimes it's complicated to do that, but as a goal, it's no more complicated than that. We'll all be watching closely over the next 4 years, whatever happens. Kirsten Fleming is a features columnist for the New York Post. John McDonough, you can hear him on WBAI New York. He's a taxi driver and a veteran as well. John and Kirsten, thanks a million.
Yeah, good for you. You're getting out of the country too now,
And I'm going to bring back my tariff-free Barry's tea.
You're leaving us behind. Come on, man.
Stay with us. Back in a moment.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.